It's very clear that the decision in the Amendment 2 case had a profound effect on, certainly on LGBT people in Colorado and indeed around the country. But it also had a profound effect on the law. Would you talk a bit about the impact of that decision?
People around the country who had worked with us on the Amendment 2 case wanted us to expand our arguments to include legal bases that would overturn Bowers versus Hardwick, which was the prior U.S. Supreme Court decision about 9 years earlier that allowed criminalization of gay sex. They wanted us to address that, they wanted us to address gay marriage, and they wanted us to address gays in the military, to come up with a legal theory that would take care of all of those issues. And that's what we did not do. But the U.S. Supreme Court took the decision in the Amendment 2 case and used it to overturn Bowers a few years later. And then, in subsequent years, the court in two cases legalized gay marriage, again beginning with the analysis in the Amendment 2 case. And in addition to that, the president issued an executive order that allowed gays to serve in the military. So ultimately, over the course of the next almost 20 years, all of the issues that were in need of the U.S. Supreme Court to deal with were dealt with by the court. And I think that's a pretty important result.
Indeed. Another result I've heard you talk about is this decision, the Romer decision, was the first time that the U.S. Supreme Court in a decision had spoken about lesbian, gay, and bisexual people as human beings, as in a humane kind of way. Could you talk about that?
Yes. Immediately after the decision in the Amendment 2 case, which is Romer versus Evans, courts around the country began to use much more respectful language in their decisions. If you go back and look at the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Bowers, the language that was used by the court was pretty hateful. And it was a sea change, I thought, to have respectful language, to have people treated with dignity. It just made an enormous difference. And it played out in a lot of other ways, in public conversations, in the news media. It's, I think, just been astounding, the difference in public attitudes toward sexual orientation and the ways in which people can be treated unfairly. I think it has resulted in much fairer treatment, although there's still a lot of problems. I'm not saying all the problems have been resolved, but it has really made a major difference in our history.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is in Scalia's dissent, he actually anticipates those changes. I mean, he's the first place I read saying, this is going to lead to gay marriage. And he was right.
He was right.
Yeah. And everybody else at the time was saying, no, it's not about that at all. But in that indirect way, it became exactly about that. It's an interesting example of what you were talking about earlier about the incremental movement of the court. And had you asked for all those things in a bundle and gotten rejected, then all of those things would have no answers to overcome rather than moving in that gradual way.
That's right.
From your perspective as an ally, a lot of the people who were encouraging you to go for more, to not use an incremental approach, were in fact members of the LGBT community. They were putting a fair amount of pressure on you to do a different kind of case. How did you hold your own ground on that?
Well, first of all, I had really strong support from the LGBT community in Colorado. It was amazing. These were national organizations. And after a while, you just say, okay, I'm hearing you. I know what issues you want to address. We're going to make our decisions here. So the clients in the case, the plaintiffs, the local governments who also attacked Amendment 2, were all very supportive. And it's the clients who get to choose the lawyer. So as long as they supported me, I was fine.
Yeah. I don't think anybody had any question about that among the plaintiffs, that's for sure.
I also thought that there wasn't anyone else, at least in Colorado, who could really represent the plaintiffs in the case, mm-hmm. because I didn't know anyone who'd had quite the kind of experience with brief writing and appellate arguments that I had had.
We're going to need to wrap up here, unfortunately. I'm wondering, Jean, is there anything you would like to sort of say as a closing comment about your experience with this whole trajectory and gems we can pass on to our audience?
Well, you know, I was lucky. I think if I had been born 5 years earlier or 10 years later, I would not have gotten the attention I got. If having a woman in the role I was in hadn't been so rare.
It is an interesting commentary on history and the chances it brings us.
And luck.
I think it's also the case that you had to be twice as good to get that attention. And I think, you know, any reading of Sue's book reminds us of that at several junctures. You were lucky. We were luckier. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well put. Well put.